This is a Hog Sports Network podcast.
Welcome to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. We were out last week. I spent a week at the beach. You notice my nice tan here. Got a nice tan from the down at Orange Beach, Alabama, so working on my tan. But a lot of news happened in Arkansas sports during that week and also over the weekend. Of course, the main topic of discussion right now is Arkansas going 1-2 in its own regional as the number 5 national seed. The Arkansas baseball season is over. Southeast Missouri knocked them out Saturday night. It ended their season. So their season is done. The season filled with high expectation came to a crashing end with a 1-2 record at the regional. And we'll have Matt Jones on with us later to talk about that. And that will also be featured in our question of the day at the end of the segment. But before we get into all that, we've got some interesting news. It happened last week. The Southeastern Conference held its meetings in Destin, Florida. We sent Christina Long, the managing editor of Hogs Illustrated, sent her down to Destin. Hey, it's a tough job, but somebody has to do it, right? So she went down to Destin, Florida, and got a lot of really great stories out of that and a lot of good information out of there. One of the things I found interesting in the many stories that she wrote was the longstanding, or at least for the last 9 or 10 years or so, Arkansas football has played Missouri on the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Black Friday game. It's sometimes been an 11 o'clock game. It's been an afternoon game a couple of times, and I think it's the Battle Line Rivalry or whatever they call it, this ginormous trophy. Anyway, they have made the decision that game will not be played on Friday this year. It will be played probably on Saturday. So I thought that was interesting coming out of the meetings. Also at these meetings, Texas and Oklahoma, which are the two newcomers into the SEC, they were there at the meetings down in Destin, and so they got a chance to, talk to some of the, the ADs and things at Oklahoma and Texas, and as they kind of make their way in as being a full-fledged member of the SEC starting this summer. I believe it's in July, it might be August 1st, but anyway, they'll be full-fledged members of the SEC. So that was one of the interesting things that happened down there as well. So Arkansas-Missouri football game this season will not be played on Black Friday. It'll be probably a Saturday game. Some of the other stories that came out of the meetings down there, Sam Pittman, the Arkansas football coach, he spoke there. And one of the big topics of conversation there was the recent $2.8 billion settlement with the NCAA in the House versus the NCAA case, $2.8 billion. And what impact that's going to have on college athletics in a lot of different ways, and one of the ramifications of this settlement will be how rosters are built for all sports. Currently, there are caps in place on rosters. For example, football can have 85 scholarship players on their roster for the season. So generally, football teams have 85 players, under scholarship, and then they'll have, however many more on walk-ons, sometimes 10 or 15 or whatever, they have. And, of course, walk-ons pay their own way. So it'll be interesting to see if the NCAA eliminates roster size limits, how that will affect rosters for football. For example, probably Arkansas's biggest story maybe in the history of its football program was Brandon Burlsworth. A young man, from Harrison, came to Arkansas as a walk-on, had opportunities to go other places with a scholarship, but he wanted to be a Razorback. Came here, worked his way into an All-American, earned a scholarship later, but he started his career as a walk-on. That's a great story. In fact, such a great story that a movie was made about it. So, and then after, of course, Brandon was killed in a car wreck between Fayetteville and Harrison, going back home one evening after he had been drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. What happened after that is the Burlsworth Foundation created a national award, the Brandon Burlsworth Trophy, which is given to a player that began his career as a walk-on. So walk-ons in Arkansas, have a unique and a special bond because of Brandon Burlsworth. So if eliminating walk-ons from football scholarship, from football teams, that would be, kind of a big deal here, particularly in Arkansas because of that history. There have been other walk-on success stories. For example, Cody Schrader at Missouri was the Burlsworth Trophy winner this past year. He was a kid that also started at a very small school, thought he could play at a higher level, went to Missouri as a walk-on and became the SEC's barely missed being the SEC leading rusher last year, and a great success story. So, you know, walk-ons make great stories, and it'll be interesting to see how this lawsuit will impact that. Another impact could be maybe in baseball. Baseball has the weird 11.7 scholarships available for a 30-member baseball team. So do the math, and you can easily see that a lot of those players are there on their own dime. And I never really understood why that weird 11.7 existed. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see if they remove that 11.7 away from baseball rosters, how that might impact baseball teams and things like that. So a lot of interesting things will develop and will come out of this lawsuit. And it's going to take, probably a year or more for all the fallout from this to be decided. But one of the things that you can bet is that eliminating cap sizes on rosters in all sports is going to have a huge, huge impact. It will allow programs, for example, like an Ohio State or a Texas, to basically go out and stockpile players on their roster because they will have, the money to do that. And that's the way things were back in the old days. Back in the 60s, colleges could have 120 guys on scholarship if that's what they wanted. And it gave those power universities a big advantage over the other ones. And that's when they came in and put in roster caps at 85 and whatever to help make more parity in college athletics. And they did a good job with that. So they may be doing a complete about face on that and seeing where that goes. Also out of news out of Destin last week, John Calipari, the newly hired Arkansas men's basketball coach, he spoke one day and he talked about how the roster for the Arkansas Razorbacks is developing. They now have 8 scholarship players, so they could actually play a game and have 3 guys foul out and still have 5 guys on the floor. So at least they're getting close to having what Calipari says is going to be a 9-man roster. He's looking for a 9th man. So, Coach, look at me. I've still got some eligibility. I could be that 9th guy for you. I could give you 5 hard fouls a game if you need it. So I'm just sitting over here if you need it. I'm available. I can, send you my cell number. You can get in touch with me, and I can be that 9th guy if you need me, that 5'5", bulldog on the court that you might need. I'm right here. But anyway, he says he said he was going to, hopefully have 9. He's ready to go with 8 if that's what they have. And he's stood by what he said by having this smaller roster by saying, if we have 9 guys or 8 guys and 2 of them get hurt, there's going to be 6 happy guys on this basketball team because they're going to be playing a whole lot of minutes. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Of his 8 guys he's got now, 5 of those guys are transfers from Kentucky. He's got 3 freshmen coming in. If you had a chance to see Calipari's press conference when he was still the coach of Kentucky after they had gotten eliminated from the NCAA tournament, he talked about how – rosters needed to be a little different now in basketball because so many of those smaller schools are keeping players there, older players, and what's happening and what happened to him at Kentucky, he had so many freshman guys. Oakland, the team that knocked them out, they were a team of men. It's kind of like you're an Arkansas fan from a long time ago. Remember when Larry Johnson and UNLV came and played Arkansas, and Larry Johnson looked at Nolan Richardson and said, "You need to get some men," when they played each other. Well, that's what Calipari's trying to do. He is trying to get some men, some grizzled guys, some guys who have savvy and age and more physicality than an 18-year-old freshman on that roster to give him a nice balance. So that's where Arkansas is now with 5 and 3, like 3 freshmen and 5 transfers. So you're seeing that dynamic of that roster having a more of an older flavor to it. So that'll be interesting to see if he can find that number 9 guy. He really doesn't know who that's going to be yet, he says, and we'll see where that goes. So that's kind of the news coming out of Destin last week. If you want to read more about that, Christina Long had a number of great stories out of those meetings. You can read those stories if you are a subscriber to Whole Hog Sports. If you're not, you need to be. If you want to have all of the information on Arkansas Razorback sports, men's, women's, whatever that is, podcasts, and everything else that goes along with the coverage of Arkansas athletics. You can only get that at WholeHogSports.com. So you want to be click on that, WholeHogSports.com, be a subscriber, and you can get everything you want to know about Arkansas Razorback sports right there. Just click, 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 and you'll get it. We're going to take a break right here, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by our baseball beat writer and our managing editor of WholeHogSports.com, Matt Jones, and we're going to break down what happened to this Arkansas baseball team at this regional. We'll be right back.
Stay on top of all Arkansas Razorback sports with a Digital Plus subscription on the Hogs Illustrated app. Get complete Razorbacks coverage in one location. Your subscription gives you 20-plus issues of Hogs Illustrated magazine, the most unique and compelling coverage anywhere in the state, plus total access to all the content on WholeHogSports.com, including breaking news, commentaries, analysis, features, recruiting, award-winning photos, and premium message boards. Subscriptions start at just $17 per month. Join the Hog Sports Network team at subscribe.waco.com. That's subscribe.wehco.com. Or call 479-684-5509 to get your front row seat to Arkansas Razorback sports. Go Hogs!
And we are rolling in on this Monday. It is June the 3rd. Summer is here finally. Man, we need a break from this rain. Blake, I'm telling you, man, it just seems like every day it's just rain, rain, rain.
I know my yard won't dry out. It's just like still muddy back there. It's always wet.
I missed the tornadoes and the storms that came through last weekend. I was on vacation, and we left out of Fayetteville Saturday afternoon, sunny, 75, beautiful. Drove down toward we went to Orange Beach, so we stopped in Jackson, Mississippi for a little overnight stay there. Got up Sunday morning and got my phone, and my wife's getting ready. We're getting ready to leave, and I'm like, oh my God. You know, Rogers, downtown Rogers and Bentonville, and been hit by tornadoes, and of course, our neighbors, texted us and said, hey, everything's good here at your house, and got a few limbs down, small or whatever. But man, my heart goes out to those folks who have been impacted by this weather, by the storms. And hey, if y'all need any help, I'm here. I can help you. I got a chainsaw, man. Don't mind coming and cutting up limbs or whatever. Just my heart just goes out to you. And hopefully, if you were impacted, everything will work out for you. And fortunately, hopefully no injuries or whatever. But man, just a bad deal. Bad deal all the way around. And it's cloudy outside again today. Looks like we're going to get more rain today.
Yeah, it's looking dark out there.
Yeah. So we are now joined by Matt Jones. Matt is our beat reporter for the Arkansas baseball team and also the managing editor of WholeHogSports.com. And, Matt, I thought we would be talking Hog baseball for at least another 3 weeks, but when it went south fast.
Yeah, it did. I think, a lot of people compare this year to the last year. I was way more surprised by the outcome over the weekend than I was last year against TCU, because TCU is a quality program.
Yeah.
And that ended up being one of the best teams in the country last year. They were a semifinal team, and had they not been walked off by Oral Roberts in Omaha, they might have been in the championship round. I don't think Kansas State's that type of team. And I don't think, obviously SEMO's not that kind of team. And yeah, I'll be surprised if K-State wins a super regional at Virginia this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia sweeps them 2-0.
Yeah.
It was a good season with a bad ending. I think that's the similarity between this year and last year. And yeah, I think maybe one more similarity that I see is that, kind of sitting back and thinking on it, maybe something you don't see in real time so much is that, this team just kind of looked tired at the end of the year. And I think that's something that they shared with last year's team too. Last year, I thought they looked a little bit tired in the position players. This year, I thought that, they looked really tired on the mound.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Van Horn, the Arkansas baseball coach, mentioned in his press conference at the end the other night that he said about a month ago, they knew they were, the pitching staff was kind of a little bit of trouble. What did he mean by that?
Well, I think that, what he meant by that was early in this year, what I think made Arkansas so good pitching wise is that the arms weren't having to be used a whole lot. you had three starters who were, you know, reliably getting you into the fifth inning, if not the sixth or the seventh. And, you know, they weren't playing five game weeks, and they weren't having to use their bullpen a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was not uncommon to see pitchers go 2 weeks between making an appearance in the first, you know, 7-8 weeks of this season. And then what happened was Colin Fisher ends up, you know, having a partial tear to his UCL that required the internal brace procedure. You had Hunter Dietz get injured. You know, Brady Tigert quit going deep into games. Mason Molina quit going deep into games. And then, you know, right before the regional, you end up having Cooper Dossett gets hurt. Tigert was hurt. And so there's a trickle-down effect to that. Those innings have to be made up somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw with them, is that, you know, those arms that were so fresh and so, you know, that bullpen that was so deep early in the year, it wasn't that way at the end of the season. You know, and maybe teams, you know, I also think that there could be something to the fact that by that point, there's a lot of tape on you. You know, and maybe teams had figured out how to attack this pitching staff a little bit differently than they knew how to do early in the year.
Well, and of course the hitting or lack thereof in several games, you know, was an issue. What I noticed about this team is they just notoriously got off to slow starts. It just seemed like all mm-hmm. year long it just took a while for things to click for them offensively, and what that does too, if, you know, if you've been around baseball a lot, you know, when your offense is not, you know, putting up numbers early, that stresses the pitching staff as well, thinking they've got to go out and just continue, you know, to throw up zeros after zero until, you know, until they get some run support. So that it all works together. Everything works together. You know, it's people, you know, you talk like on a football team, Matt, you know, people talk about the three phases, you know, the offense, defense, and special teams. Well, baseball is in phases like that too. It's pitching and defense and hitting, you know, and you got to be, you know, clicking on in all three of those phases, you know, or if one mm-hmm. phase is, you know, a little bit deficient, you're going to feel it in the other areas. The same thing.
And as much as, you know, we kind of nitpick everything, they still had this regional set up the way they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
They had the lead midway through the game Saturday night against Kansas State with Hagen Smith on the mound and some of their best bullpen arms ready to go. And I thought Ben Bibee threw as well as I've seen him throw as a Razorback those final three innings of the K-State game. It's just that, you know, for the second year in a row, Hagen Smith had his worst outing of the year in a regional start.
Yeah.
I mean, who could have foreseen that Hagen Smith was going to give up
no one.
Six runs in an inning?
Yeah, no one. No one.
I mean, he hadn't given up more than three runs in a game all season.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, you know, as much as I love Hagen Smith and I've loved watching him play at Arkansas, you know, unfortunately, those two regional starts are what a lot of people are going to remember about him.
That's right.
You know, and it's, you got to kind of have to take the good with the bad sometimes. And it's just unfortunate for him that, you know, probably his two worst performances as a Razorback came in these pivotal regional games. I've always said game two, the winner's bracket game of a regional, is the most important game in a regional.
No doubt about it. Yeah. No,
you know, if you don't win, you fall in the loser's bracket. And you're trying to outpitch teams that have got more rested arms.
Yeah.
And, you know, falling into that loser's bracket was really the thing that hurt them. You know, I think this team, have they been in a super regional this week? I think they're much better built for a super regional than they are for a regional. When they fell in the loser's bracket in a regional, it was going to be really hard for them to battle their way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dave mentioned also, Matt, maybe retooling the way he builds the roster. You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about that in the first segment, how John Calipari in his final press conference as the coach at Kentucky, well, maybe not the final one, but after they lost to Oakland, you know, in the NCAA, how, you know, you can't have a team loaded with freshmen anymore in basketball and compete because against these teams that are loaded with, you know, 25-year-old men on the rosters. What's when he says he's going to retool or maybe rethink the way he builds his roster, what is he maybe thinking about doing?
Well, I think it might be going back maybe to an earlier style of offense that Arkansas has had. And I don't know this, but, you know, one thing he did say is you can't have eight guys on your roster and just, you know, who are just home run hitters. You got to have a better caliber of athlete. You've got to be able to manufacture offense when you're getting shut down by an opposing pitcher. You got to be able to lay down a bunt. You got to be able to steal a base. I think that's what he's saying. So, you know, they've been a team that have been, that has been very, I don't know what the word would be, but they've been dependent upon power hitters for a number of years now.
It's like feast or famine.
And I mean, to a large extent, you know, and this year they just didn't have great power numbers. I think they ended up with somewhere mid 80s home runs. I mean, this is a team that, you know, usually is well into the hundreds in home runs.
Yeah.
And some of that's dependent on, you know, how many games you get to play in a season. But, you know, I think anybody watching them this year knew that the power just wasn't there. And you know, I just didn't see power at positions where I think you usually see power hitters.
Yeah,
you usually see power hitters in the corner outfields.
Yep.
They didn't have that this year. You see power hitter a lot of time at first base. And Ben McLaughlin certainly had the power potential, but he only ended up with 9 home runs, and he had 2 of them in the regional. And those were his first home runs that he'd hit in about 6 weeks.
Wow.
You know, you see a power hitter at DH. They didn't have that this year. And so, you know, I think it's just kind of going back to the drawing board and analyzing how do you construct a lineup moving forward. Wouldn't surprise me if we just see maybe some more runners and maybe less power emphasis put on the type of position players they bring in. And the great thing about baseball is that the way that the lineups are constructed now, and I'm talking about in terms of how you build your roster, is that you're basically going out and you're reloading through the transfer portal every year. So, you know, they got a lot of roster spots they've got to fill from the position side next season, and that's going to be something, you know, that they're going to be real heavy on the next 5 or 6 weeks or so before the draft.
Yeah, I look at the roster and I'm like, you got to have more athletes on your team. You got to have, you know, you're not, I don't think they're athletic enough. You got to have athletes with speed who give you a threat on the bases, like you said, an athlete who can lay a bunt down or hit and run and those kind of things. And Matt, you've covered baseball long enough to know those kind of things travel with you wherever you go. If you have a team that can be versatile like that eliminates a lot of slumps because you can manufacture your way out of them. And then, man, you know, then if you get a leadoff walk and steal second, if the guy behind you hits a home run, that's great. But if he hits a single in the gap, it should still be great.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, Kansas State, that was probably the best offense I've seen this year in terms of manufacturing runs. When they got on base, they were as aggressive as any team I've seen this year on the bases. And, you know, they're right there with Kentucky, who also got through their regional.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something to be said for that and the influence of, you know, that kind of baseball coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Matt, I appreciate you being on with us today and giving us, you know, that great insight that you do. And again, to our listeners of the podcast, you can read more about Matt's coverage of Arkansas baseball, which is the best that there is, at wholehogsports.com. Multiple stories out there, and we will continue to have that. We got the MLB draft coming up, and we'll have Matt, I think, is going down to Texas for that, down to Fort Worth for that. Obviously, Arkansas will have several players drafted. Hagan Smith, of course, will be drafted, and then we'll see also how the MLB draft might affect the Arkansas recruiting class and see if it might be affected, and go from there, and then how Coach Van Horn will build his roster over these next few months. So thanks, Matt, for being on with us. And we're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we will have the question of the day from our wholehogsports.com message boards.
Get the latest breaking news on all Arkansas Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Our award-winning reporters and photographers go beyond game recaps to bring our subscribers the most trusted Razorbacks news anywhere. With expert analysis, the latest in recruiting, plus unique and compelling stories of your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com.
And we are back with the third inning, or the third quarter, of this podcast today. And it's been a good one. We just got finished with a nice segment with Matt Jones, kind of breaking down what happened with the Arkansas baseball team. Basically, Blake, over the last month of the season, I mean, you could just kind of see things were just kind of some cracks in the armor a little bit, and you know, just some things here and there. You're like, they weren't doing that a few weeks ago, or this is new, or man, this player really is struggling at the plate. So
yeah, just kind of fizzled out there at the end.
They did. So our WholeHogSports.com question of the day, this is part of the podcast every time we do it, and we do try to get input from our message board warriors, those guys that ladies that jump in there and give us great, great insight on our message board, and we certainly love their participation. And they were a little salty today, Blake. Got a little salty out there.
A little salty.
So anyway, the Whole Hog Sports podcast question of the day is, what derailed the baseball team over the past month? Was it hitting? Was it pitching? Was it coaching? Was it a combination of the three? Okay. So we've got several nice suggestions from some of our message board people. This one comes from Razorbacker Relly, who says, please add defense and brain sharpness. As an anesthesiologist, I can recognize what a fog or hangover looks like. Kind of getting a little mental there. That's over my head there, Blake. What do you think? Of course, my bar's not that high, but
he's a doctor, so I gotta go with his opinion, you know.
Oh, man, my mental bar is not too high, so it doesn't take, you know, a lot to go over that bar. Gas Hog says, in order, hitting and pitching, really bad ABs in key spots. So that is good insight right there. I don't understand our approach. Looked at great pitches and swung at terrible pitches. You got to be setting dead red, that's dead red on a fastball, and adjust to off speed. We just looked at a lot of really hittable pitches in repeated key at-bats with runners on and in scoring position. Not a good approach or plate discipline. Anyway, it doesn't matter now. Had a great year. We need to either develop a better development system or reevaluate our evaluation process. Blake, I'm not for sure. I think this is right. I think Arkansas left the bases loaded three times yesterday against SEMO.
Mm.
Three times. Or not yesterday, but three times against SEMO in that. I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Today is Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like I've been gone for a week or something. But anyway, left the bases loaded. Another one of our posters down here said, and hits on something I thought a lot too. This is Gentry Razorback, who says, hitting was suspect the entire season, specifically situational hitting. They left men on base in droves throughout the year. Over the past month, our pitching started to falter, removing the margin for error that we enjoyed early in the season. Matt alluded to that, Blake. He talked about that. So to put it on point, pitching was our downfall the last month. Hitting has been an issue from day one. Good insight there. Go Navy says, if I remember correctly, more than one time against Kansas State, there were runners on third base. This is what I remember. There were runners on third base with less than two outs, sometimes with no outs, and the next hitter swung at the first pitch and popped it up. No, didn't put it on the ground, didn't hit it to the right side, didn't try to bunt, didn't do anything to get that runner in. And Blake, that's what I'm going back to that and going, you know, opportunities like that. It's one thing if you're playing Grambling State or UAPB and you not getting that runner in from third, although they really didn't do a great job in some of those games either. When you are in the regionals and super regionals against teams that are pretty good or they wouldn't be there, that is magnified. It's magnified on you. Snout says, plain and simple, hitting. Our pitching did enough in most of the outings, holding teams to between 4 and 7 runs. Double digits were scored on us only a couple of times in the last 14 games. The problem came down to very few clutch hits. How many stranded base runners have we seen? How many on third with none or one out and can't get him in? Seems like 100 times, probably only 10 or 15. I know it was more frustrating on the players and coaches than us as fans that third base jinx was really hard to watch. And then our final one from Hurst Hog says, plain and simple, one word sentence, hitting, period. Few of our hitters improved over the course of the season. Hudson White did, but only after taking a huge step back from his 2023 season. Remember, he's a transfer from Texas Tech. To me, there was too much attention on analytics. You know what, Blake? I agree with that 1,000%. I get tired of everybody saying, well, his exit velo was this. His barrel percentage was this. And I'm like, did he get a hit? Isn't that what it's about? Getting a hit, right?
Yeah, it's that money ballification of the game.
Yeah, I heard a guy tell me one time he I don't remember. I think this was on Twitter. A friend of mine, Jeff Fry, was a former really pretty good major league player for the Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox, and he said he had one time had a minor league heard a minor league guy tell a guy tell one of the players who was batting about .105, don't worry about it because your barrel percentage is really good. What does that even mean?
Yeah, no clue.
What does that mean? He's batting .105, but your barrel percentage is really good. Does that mean like at some point God's going to touch your barrel and make the ball go 10 feet farther? What, I'm not getting it because you know what matters to me, Blake? Did you get on base? Did you get a hit? That's what matters to me. Did you get a hit? Did you get on base? And did somebody move you around and score you? That's what it's all about. I don't care about velo and this and that. It's about old school. Baseball's been around for 200 years. The game ain't changed. Still 90 feet to first base. Still 60 feet, 6 inches to home plate. We are reading too much and too much analytics into baseball. Just get up there and swing the dang bat.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm with you. I'm sick of every home run now, and it's like, and it was 107 miles per hour off the bat. It's like, okay.
Did it go over the fence?
That's neat, I
good.
Guess.
Good. Next batter. Let's go.
Who cares? Yeah.
Good. I'm glad it went over the fence. What was that velo? 327, because the fence is 325. He hit it 327. Good. That's the only number I care about.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's our question of the day. Again, man, we appreciate our wholehogsports.com subscribers. Participating in our question of the day each time for this podcast. And if you're not a subscriber, you cannot play our game. Can't play with us. You got to be a subscriber, and you got to get on the message board, and you jump in for the question of the day, and we will try to use it with our podcast. And I love, Blake, I love our people, you know, and then the response we get on this. And we got some really, really intelligent, great, insightful people on our message board. We're the place for smart people, excluded.
Yeah, today we had a doctor.
We had a doctor.
That's pretty cool.
And I got a degree in janitorial mathematics or whatever. But anyway, we appreciate it, and we appreciate you being on with our podcast every time. And we'll be back later this week, and we'll find a few other things to talk about. I don't know how much baseball we'll talk, but we'll find something to talk about. So thanks for being on with us. This is, again, the WholeHogSports.com podcast. And also, don't forget, we have other podcasts at WholeHogSports.com that you can jump on. Also, on YouTube, I know I got a face for not YouTube, but you can still see me on YouTube. If you got, varmints out in your cornfield eating your corn up, you can put your laptop out there with my picture on it. It will scare those varmints right out of there. Understand that. But anyway, we got great podcast on the WholeHogSports.com website, and of course, great stories and everything you want to know about Arkansas athletics. We got it. So thanks for being on with us today. This is a Whole Hog Sports podcast, and we'll be back next week. Go Hogs!